You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Tommy Beer joins us. He covers the NBA for Forbes. Tommy, welcome in. How you doing?
Doing well, Anita. How about yourself?
I'm great. I was... So, you know, NFL is my wheelhouse, right? Like NFL and golf are my jams. And you know, now I'm contributing to our gambling site at ESPN and our Daily Wager TV show. They've asked me to dabble in the NBA. And so for the past two weeks, I've been doing that. My record right now, I'm 22-4-1 with my picks.
Whoa.
And I know, Tommy, I don't like my record's better in the NBA than it is in the NFL. I don't know what that says about me, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And Ty, who of course was so kind to book you for the show, you know, the producer, you know, he's really big into the NBA, and him and I go back and forth. And I said, our relationship is going to go to a whole new level this season. Because I'm really enjoying, you know, my prep and doing a deep dive into all the statistics, and trying to find out what some of the best bets are heading into each and every day. And the games are every day. I mean, obviously, you know, when it comes to the NFL, it's, you know, granted, it's you know, you now we've got the Thursday night game and the Monday night game, but you know, to do a deep dive each and every day, it's been fun for me. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, especially on the gambling side, it's really important to be aware in this weird 2021 COVID world of who's resting, which players are potentially going to miss the game. You know, if they're out, how does that impact the other players? And you know, including prop bets and things along those lines. So, but yeah, you're right. If you do the research, there's so much statistics available out there that you can really glean a lot of knowledge. You know, educate yourself fairly quickly for the comings and goings of today's NBA.
Yeah, and I've been enjoying, like, for example, my best bet today is I love Draymond Green over in assists ever since Weissman has been out. You know, obviously he's come in and playing center and has just been a beast in the paint and going up there and getting the rebounds. And then, of course, obviously dishing it and helping out with this. He's averaging 10 assists a game with Weissman out, and typically his assist line has been anywhere between, you know, 7.5, 8.5. So I've been winning a ton of money on Draymond Green over assists, and I like it again against the Nets later on tonight.
I like that too. I think the Nets are going to come out motivated, focused. KD is an interesting player prop bet. Obviously, I think he'll be motivated. It sounds like the Warriors are going to do a little ceremony for him, his first game back in the Bay Area. And as far as wagers tonight, one other thing that that kind of caught my eye was the Knicks and the Rockets playing tonight. Surprisingly, kind of shockingly enough, the Knicks and the Rockets are both ranked second and third, respectively, in defensive efficiency this season. So that under, even though it's low, I think it's around 212. I think that's something that I'm going to keep my eye on tonight.
Yeah, I actually played it in a teaser. I teased it up to 217.5. And I'm taking the under. The Rockets have hit the under. They're 9-0 in
wow.
Unders. I know, in their last 9 games. And of course, with the Knicks going back to back. So anyway, who am I? I don't know. Like, it's so fun. I'm loving every minute of this. All right. Since we have you on, let's dive. Obviously, let's keep it local. And let's start with the Knicks, right? Okay. Because I think, let's be honest, I think they have surpassed expectation this season. At least for me, they have. But there's a lot of talk and speculation that they are in a great situation to potentially wheel and deal and bring in Beal. Like I'm a poet. I don't even know it. I didn't even plan that. And by the way, my favorite bet last night was Beal was out for the first time. He was out on rest. I went Russell Westbrook over in assists, over 8.5, and he hit it 2 minutes into the second half. But nonetheless, you know, Beal's averaging 32, 35 minutes a game. He's averaging 35 points a game. Dude's just been an absolute beast. What do you know? What can you tell us about the Knicks making a deal to bring Beal here? What would it take? And do you really feel that that would be the wisest decision for the organization?
If they could get Bradley Beal, I think it's difficult to overpay. I think he's that talented. I think you know, in terms of skill set in today's NBA, a guy that can knock down threes, take it to the basket. He's durable, rarely, as you mentioned, the first game he's missed all season was due to rest last night. I dealt with some lower leg injuries early in his career, but he's proven durable. You know, consistent defender, not a great defender, but a plus defender, you know, due to his athleticism. So he's the, and in terms of, you know, outside shooting, that's the one thing the Knicks, you know, are last in the league in three-point attempts, last in the league in three-point makes. So it's something that they obviously need to address at some point going forward once they, if they hope to become contenders. That being said, I don't think the Knicks have the pieces. You know, I think other teams would be able to offer, you know, I my assumption is that the Wizards, if they do deal him, because he still has 2 years left on his contract, so it's not like they are in any rush to trade him before the deadline. If I had to guess, I think he still is a Wizard, you know, in late March after the trade deadline this year. Yeah, so all that being said, I think they're going to request multiple first-round picks in return and a young All-Star on a cost-control contract. R.J. Barrett's been up and down the season. I'm a little bit higher on him than most, but I think projecting him as a surefire future All-Star may be a bit of a reach. You know, certainly a good starter, you know, on a good NBA team. You know, Mitchell Robinson's been up and down. So, you know, Obi Toppin's been a little bit of a disappointment, even though he's still very early in his career. Emmanuel Quickley obviously has exceeded expectations, but I think, you know, projecting an All-Star berth in his future is a bit premature at this point. So I don't know if the Knicks have that one piece, kind of that piece that puts it over the top, you know, whether it's a Jaylen Brown with the Celtics, you know, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Oklahoma City, one of those really young players that's playing at a ridiculously high level right now. My assumption is the Warriors would want that in return. In addition, the Knicks certainly have plenty of draft picks they could offer. And if the Wizards wanted those first-rounders, even though I credit the Knicks for not trading first-rounders, the reason you save them is either to use them on quality young prospects or to turn that into a stud like Bradley Beal. But the other side of the coin is it's a gamble trading for a guy like Beal, not in terms of talent, but is he going to re-sign with the Knicks in 2 years when he becomes a free agent? Because if you give up, you know, all your assets, your young players, R.J. Barrett, Mitch Robinson, future first rounders, for a guy, and you only get him for 2 years when the Knicks aren't close to championship contention right now, that's obviously a major roll of dice. You'd have to, you know, do some background research, talk with his agent, make sure that he's comfortable staying in New York before you even consider putting an offer like that on the table.
Yeah, and everything I'm reading in regard to who the Knicks would be up against, and what the deal would entail, like Philadelphia, for example, they could offer Ben Simmons. Denver, for example, could offer Michael Porter Jr. So you know, obviously, just I think they're outmatched there. Also, you know, in reading, you know, the first round picks they get plus the two from Dallas. You know, obviously, you know, we're all following the Mavericks. Luka is just amazing. Another prop edit that hit for me last night was KP under 8.5 rebounds in the paint against Adams and Zion. So that paid out extremely well. But in looking back on that trade with the Knicks and dishing out, getting rid of KP, where would you rate that? Do you, you know, wise choice? You know, obviously he hasn't been able to stay healthy in Dallas either. And for me, that was my biggest concern about KP. Looking back on that trade, who won that?
I think it's still to be determined, even though it's kind of a cliche and I'm ducking a direct answer. I would say, honestly, though, if you put both sides on the table, because you got to remember, not only did the Knicks avoid paying the Porzingis contract, it's a $153 million contract for a guy that's, you know, prior to last season, had played one game in April in his career, has just had trouble staying healthy, and 7'3 guys with leg issues typically don't tend to last that long in the NBA. It's just the reality of the human body is difficult to deal with an NBA grind. And if you've watched KP this season, you know that he's just, you know, I don't want to say shell of his peak form, but he certainly isn't close to the same defender that he was, you know, during his early career in New York. A lot of teams are having to switch out on pick and rolls and chase guys around the perimeter, and he's getting blown by defensively. He just doesn't have that same level of quickness. He doesn't seem to trust his knee as much as he did in times past. That being said, he's certainly capable of putting up 30 points easily like he did last night in an important win for Dallas. The other thing to factor into that trade is the cap space that the Knicks created by trading Porzingis along with Tim Hardaway. That allowed the Knicks to sign Julius Randle, who's having, you want to talk about all-stars. He's having an all-star caliber season. Really, really impressive, folks. And it's, they signed Marcus Morris, who they flipped to the Clippers for a late first-round draft pick in last year's draft, which turned into Emmanuel Quickley. So if you gave the Knicks fan the option right now, whether they would have Randle, who has only $4 million guaranteed on his salary next season, Knicks will probably pick up his team options, but it's still only $18 million, which is a relative bargaining considering his production this season. Whether you'd rather have Randle on an affordable contract and Emmanuel Quickley, who looks like he's a really solid, quality NBA point guard, which the Knicks have been lacking forever, as opposed to the upside of Porzingis, but all that comes with it, the injury issues, the $35 million a year contracts in 2 or 3 years from now. I think a lot of Knicks fans would, and that's not even factoring in the Mavericks potential draft pick this season, which could be, as of today, would be a lottery pick. Late lottery pick, even though the Mavericks have won 4 in a row. It looks like they're kind of, headed in the right direction. But the thing about the Mavericks pick, if Lucas sprains his ankle and misses 2 weeks or, has some serious injury, that could be a very high pick, considering how far, the Mavericks were below 500 just, a week or two ago. So I would say the Knicks you could certainly make the argument that the Knicks are happy with the way it worked out. I think Mavericks fans would, are kind of mixed on Porzingis right now, but they understand that, they have the chance to be a really good team right now. They needed a kind of second banana to Luka, and it'll be determined. And I think it'll be determined by whether Porzingis stays healthy and what the Knicks do with that Mavericks pick.
Interesting. Again, Tommy Beer joining us here. You can see his work all over Forbes covering everything NBA. Before we let you go, let's turn our attention to what's going on with the Nets, and big game tonight. I'm excited for this. Of course, they're on the left coast going up against the Warriors. As I said earlier, Draymond Green over assists is my favorite bet for that game. But I guess the bigger news is that KD is back. I think it's going to be really interesting. This is a Nets team defensively. They've been horrific, giving up, almost 130, if not over 130 points a game to their opponents. Obviously, KD comes back, that changes things, the dynamic on that defense. But still, I still don't think this is a team that, obviously with Harden being on the roster, this is, championship or bust. But how do they fix this defense, Tommy? Because they're going to have to fix it. They're going to have to fix it if they got a shot of winning a championship.
100%. It's very rare that a team without a top 10 defense, wins the championship. I think it's, something like, 2 out of the last, 19 or 20 championships have been won by teams that ranked higher, 10th or higher in defensive efficiency. And right now, since the Harden trade, or, some agitated Net fans will tell you, since the Jared Allen trade, because that's who the Nets gave off, that has really emptied out their middle, they are 29th in the league in defensive efficiency. So one of the worst teams in the NBA. On that side of the ball. Now, the good news is they still have 6 weeks before the deadline to try to figure out how they're going to, patch that hole up, because DeAndre Jordan is not the answer. Nick Claxton's not the answer. JaVale McGee, a guy that's been talked about out in Cleveland, the Cavs have a glut of centers right now. But the issue is the Nets don't have the pieces. They gave up all their first rounders to, they don't have the assets that other teams are looking for. They do have a couple second rounders that they could include. They also have Spencer Dinwiddie's player exemption, injured player exemption, so about $7.5 million in cap space to take on a player if another team wants to dump that salary. And I think that might be an issue as we approach the deadline 6 weeks from now, within late March. As much as teams have been hit economically, not having fans in the building, I think that's where the Knicks could also benefit. Actually, as a sort of an aside, if teams want to dump salary, the Knicks still have about $15 million in cap space that they didn't spend last summer or last offseason prior to the start of this season that they can use in trades. The Nets are going to – the problem is they're not going to be able to add a stud center like a Vucevic, one of the really top-tier centers that are on the market right now. I think they'll have to kind of settle for who gets – who's left in terms of the buyout market, or maybe, flip a second-rounder for an intriguing, defensive-minded center. Because that's really all they need is a guy like Jared Allen, who they gave up, a guy that's going to run pick and rolls, but most importantly, anchor the team defensively, protect the basket, defensive rebounds. And that's the thing that they need, because they obviously, with those three studs offensively, they're going to be able to put up points and score with anybody. But to beat the best teams in the East, let alone in the finals, you know, the Sixers and the Bucks and, you know, some of the other top squads in the East to come out of the East, to need to win 4 to 7 games against those teams, they're going to need to get some stops. And they're going to need a big guy in the back line of the defense to do so.
Tommy, thanks so much for spending time with us this afternoon. Really do appreciate it. Enjoy your Valentine's weekend.
Thank you. I'm going to go place a bet on Draymond Green over assists right now, and then I will enjoy the rest of my weekend.
Boom. There you go. Tommy, take care.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.